Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, we heard about the parables of what was lost. Lost sheep, which pictures us sinners who wander from the Lord. Thank God that He seeks us and that He finds us. And the last coin, picturing the faithful woman, the church, the bride of Christ, seeking those who wander and become lost. And which coins, / Christians, are entrusted into the care of the faithful church. But why do we get lost to begin with? Well, the answer is through our own sin and the evil influences of the world and on account of the adversary, the devil. But in the context of our gospel this morning in Luke chapter 16 and in other sections of this gospel of Luke, we disciples, like the original disciples being addressed in this section, are given a major heads up on one of the key reasons, threats, that leads to getting lost, and for that matter, giving reason as to why the church would not concern herself, a terrible sin, for the lost. The reason is money. And our Lord Jesus is teaching a very basic and yet profound and critical lesson that we must learn. You can't have two masters in life. You will either love money and possessions and be attached to them, or you will love God and His mercy in Christ and be attached to Him. But the Lord teaches us in many ways that people get lost from God and stray from how life should really be lived, following the Lord, because of money, because of possessions. Early on in Luke's gospel, we read this, the top of page 13. Let's read together Luke 8:14. "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." Even one who hears and apparently receives the gospel of Christ can become distracted by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and they can get lost, and many do. How often, dear Christians, are we consumed by these things, either on the one hand, so afraid and worried because we do not have enough money, or so consumed by all that we can get when there is much money? And after a while, it is the money that we carry around in our hearts and in our minds, and not the Lord. We get lost, and we do as the servant in today's parable did. We start wasting our lives, and we start neglecting the proper use of God's gifts. Hear the words of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 30. Let's read together. "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and still and so dishonor the name of my God." The proverb is not saying that a Christian cannot be materially rich or materially poor, but he's cognizant of the tremendous temptations and distractions that accompany one or the other situation. So again, Jesus taught in the Gospel of Luke, and I'll read it out loud alone. Please listen. Luke 12. "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." God is clear on the matter, and He lovingly warns you and warns me. And perhaps one of the most poignant parts of the New Testament on this topic is 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's read this one aloud together. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. For those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Again, don't take this to mean that a believer cannot have money and possessions. It is not money itself that is the root of all evil, but as the scriptures say, the love of money. Abraham, King David, and rich Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 were materially rich, but they were also rich towards God. What counts is who you serve and what you do with God's gifts, what you do with the money. If you love God by His grace, then money is used to glorify God, and it is used to help your neighbor. In the meantime, we will be given opportunities to test where our hearts are at. God is gracious that way. These opportunities can certainly be humbling, but powerful reminders as to what is really important in life. In 1993, there was a devastating fire in Laguna Beach. 366 gorgeous homes went up in smoke. One of those homes belonged to a former pastor of St. Paul's, Reverend Roy Gesch. This man of God had been extraordinarily blessed in his ministerial career. He had a rich library. He had a remarkable collection of missionary artifacts and invaluable symbols of the faith. And of course, he and his wife Dorothy had been extraordinarily blessed with a beautiful home. In 1993, they lost everything in that fire. All of those precious possessions that contain not only substantial monetary value, but inestimable sentimental value and real ministerial value for work in the kingdom, all of these were gone in a matter of hours. I got to know Pastor Gesch when I served St. Paul's in Laguna Beach. I was struck by his genuine and faithful response to that fire. He did not undervalue what had been lost. They were precious gifts from God. He and his wife knew pain from the loss they experienced, but he also knew a profound joy that his real life, his real inheritance, his real meaning was not bound up in the things that were lost. He knew the Lord had promised him riches in heaven, and he even marveled at how the Lord provided for him and Dorothy anew in this life, even after that fire. He was rich in faith, and he was not crippled by that fire. I experienced a similar testimony in Texas. Jerry Kirkpatrick, who had been so blessed in material possessions, had a rude awakening one day as he came home from work, as he realized that his immaculate home was in flames. Jerry, who is now in heaven like Pastor Gesch, was so humble that he would never tell me about his radiant reaction that day. The story had to come from his daughter. He was horribly upset, but his reaction really had nothing to do with his gorgeous home itself. He was upset because at first he didn't know where his family was. But when he found them, when he found his wife and his children, he was overjoyed and relieved beyond words. And the house, so that too was a precious gift from God, did not rob his joy or his relief that day. Everything was going to be all right because Jerry had what was really important. His daughter learned something that no pastor would be able to convey better than her dad did that day. Learn to love what's really important in life And it isn't our possessions. It isn't our money. But even the church can get confused about these things. There's an ancient document called the Didache. It means teaching, known by its longer title, which is still actually a shorter title, the Teaching of the 12 Apostles. This Christian composition was written prior to AD 120, and it's so impressive in that it was considered by the early church to be a candidate for inclusion into the New Testament canon. It was almost included into our Bibles. It's a valuable early work in the tradition of the church. In this work, there's a section concerning teachers, apostles, and prophets. There are signs given to warn the church as to how a false prophet or false teacher may be recognized. The Didache says simply, if he asks money, he is a false prophet. Why would the Lord also teach his bride to be as the woman seeking lost coins? Answer, because the church is also distracted by the things of this world, money and possessions, and can forget what is really important in the holy ministry, love God and his mercy in Christ. So seek the lost. We are blessed to be able to seek our own home as a church, our own facilities. And in this process, we must be cognizant as good stewards of resources and money. But at the same time, let us keep our eyes on what is most important, seeking the lost, proclaiming the gospel that gathers sinners unto salvation. This is what Jesus was getting at in today's parable. Jesus commends the dishonest servant or manager not for his dishonesty. Let's be clear about that. In fact, at 16:8, he's not putting down the disciples, but he's commending them because they don't play the deceitful games the unrighteous are good at playing. The sons of the world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. They play the system. They play the game. Everyone lies. That's what the world does. Christians are to be innocent when it comes to these ways of the world and to renounce them. But Jesus commends the dishonest manager in respect to his quality of prudence. Prudence is cleverness and skill deployed in self-preservation. Jesus was not telling his disciples to be dishonest, but he was telling them, and through Scripture telling us, to be prudent. But the question is, exactly in accord with what preservation? The parable about this manager is about his job and the desperate prospect confronting him of losing everything. The manager is facing judgment, and he's silent before his master. His silence spoke volumes and said this, I am guilty. The master knows I'm guilty. My disobedience against the master has brought judgment upon me. I cannot get my job back by offering excuses. We are to relate to the servant not in regards to his dishonesty and worldly manipulation, but in these two respects about prudence, the spiritual prudence of disciples and children of God. One, his utter conviction of his master's judgment. Don't wait, Christian. Be quick and be clear. You are a sinner. And you are in a desperate situation. You need God, not money. Settle accounts quickly. And number two, his utter conviction of his master's mercy. There's only one solution. You must go outside of yourself and depend not on money, which turns to dust, but you must depend on the only true riches in life. That is Jesus and his gifts to you through his word and holy baptism and holy communion to keep your faith alive in Christ and to know what's really important in life. How could this manager possibly get away with what he did? Willing and dealing as he did, reducing what was owed to his master from the debtors. He must have known. This servant must have known. His master was so merciful, so gracious, his reputation had to be renowned. Everyone in town, all of the debtors knew they could fall upon and trust in the mercy of the master. Loving and serving money and possession leads to wasting life and getting lost. Loving and serving the Lord, the result of his finding you, showering you with grace upon grace, with the forgiveness of sins through his blood and eternal life through his glorious resurrection, is what leads you to know real life, so as to be found not lost, so as to be able to see and not be blind, and so as to be truly rich in the riches that never fade, that can't be destroyed in fires, that are kept in heaven for you and already are now yours. With this proper view of things and propelled by the grace of God, we take on a new relationship with money and possessions. This restart mission of St. Paul's, which is now almost 2.5 years old, has not once thus far asked you for money beyond the regular offering, with the exception of helping those in need outside of this congregation, either struck by natural disasters or missionary needs, or to support the greater church and her mission to the world. And by the way, I include such offerings as the one we gave to the Synod and the ones we gave for the Evangelathon, which literally had us inviting people to church and supporting our youth so they could grow in faith. Why? Because by God's grace, who has given us everything and more that we need for this body and life, and giving us the kingdom, has poured out every spiritual blessing, we've received a new view about money. It is to be used to bless those around us. It is to be used to prove that we're not attached to it, to know that we're not taking it with us to heaven, but know the right way to use it. We know because Jesus has given every penny we have, and at the same time calls us to love him over and above what he grants us to have. They're good gifts, but one day they'll be gone. We won't need them, but we will have the Lord forever, and we need him forever. So let's serve him who gave us everything he had, even his life, so that you and I would have life, real life, riches in him. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand for the creed.